Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. This is our text. What's the first thing you think of when I talk about that popular reality show, Duck Dynasty? Is it beards? Bombshells? Uncle Si with his, "Hey, Jack"? Or Mr. Robinson with the happy, happy, happy? What is it? For me, it's camouflage clothing, the best part of all. See, the purpose of camouflage is to not be seen, to blend into your background, not to draw attention to yourself. It's really helpful if you're in the military. And if you're a bow hunter like me, you like camouflage, you get a little closer because I'm not that good of a shot. But within the Christian faith, camouflage is dangerous and destructive. Why do I say so? Remember the words of Jesus. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now that doesn't sound much like blending into one's environment now, does it? God wants us to really stand out, to be set apart, to be lights within the darkness of a world in which we live. But you see, this year, your theme is nice. Be transformed. And the text from what that theme verse comes from is from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Men and women just like you and me, a few thousand years ago, but struggle with a lot of the same issues that you and I do. And Paul was warning them, this is what I don't want you to do. I do not want you to conform to the world in which you live. I don't want you to imitate the nation of Israel, who God had commanded to wipe out all the inhabitants of the promised land. And they didn't do it. God had told them, don't marry the pagan gods, women, and the foreign nations, don't marry them, and they did. Oh, and by the way, don't you even think about, for a moment, adopting their gods as your own and worshiping them as if they are me. But Israel did all of that. You know, Israel was sent into the world to change the world, but unfortunately the world began to change Israel. Israel had adopted the practices of the pagan nations around them. They began to imitate their behavior, and worst of all, they began to worship their gods as their own. As time went on, they were so well camouflaged within the world that it was hard to tell the difference between a Jew and a pagan. And Paul's telling the Christians in Rome, don't you even for a minute conform to the sinfulness of the world in which you live in. In just a few short days, I want to remind you that your summer break is now officially over. And you're going to stand before a classroom of kids. And if you're an administrator, before a room of educators. And there's something about your kids I think you should know. They are masters of camouflage. You see, the reality is it's evident in the clothes they wear. They all dress alike. The backpacks they have on, the words they speak, and the slang that you have to get caught up on from over the summer. I understand that A1's a good thing. I always thought that was a military term, but apparently they've got something going on in cheer this year about A1 awards. It's awesome. I still don't quite understand, but it's cool. But these are the things you're going to have to begin to pick up on. But you see it in, they love to blend in. Kids don't like standing out. They like to sit in groups with friends and cliques. They just want to be there, but not really be seen. You know, that whole idea, the theory of being a light on a hill is kind of cool when it's a theory. But when you begin to try to put it in the practice that you are supposed to be a light to the world, that you're supposed to step out of your comfort zone and be a light for Christ in the darkness of the world we live in, it's not all that appealing. Not so much in a parochial school, it's fairly easy. Because we're all supposed to be doing that, right? It's a little harder when you step outside the door and you're around friends that don't go to church or are involved or whatever. We live in a dark world. But see, isn't that the struggle that you and I deal with? We struggle with letting our light shine in a dark world. See, we're just like them. We love to camouflage, to blend in, to mold into the environment around us. We too are reluctant to let our light shine before men, preferring instead to fit in and just get along. Now, if I were to ask you, who was the inventor of camouflage? Some may say the Marine Corps. Others may say, nope, it's mossy oak or real tree. Wrong, wrong, and double wrong. In fact, camouflage, the first introduction of it, is found in the Bible. Did you know that? It goes like this. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. It's fruit of the bloom, if you wanted to know. Fig leaves camouflage, just to fit in. I'm going to cover it up. See, God, there's nothing to see here. And we've been doing it ever since. See, the challenge laid out before you this academic school year is to be transformed. But it's not only for the academic year, it's for your life in general to be transformed by literally the renewing of your mind. But the truth of the matter is that we are much more willing to conform than to be transformed. We would prefer just to make the camouflage an everyday outfit, kind of like pajama day in preschool. Oh, Reverend Bloom, well, how do we avoid being camouflaged as Christians? How do I keep from blending into the world in which I live in and my sinful nature just longs to fit in? How do I stay away from that? Listen to the words of Paul. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. And the verb used for be transformed is a present and perfect passive verb. In the seminary, I learned that imperfect verbs need a little bit of whoop-de-doo. And the whoop-de-doo we chose in the seminary was relentlessly. So you are to be relentlessly transformed, ongoing, unending. But that's not the part I want you to notice. I want you to notice the part about being passive. See, the transformation that takes place in your life is something that is done to you. It's not something like Adam and Eve, I'll just collect the fig leaves and I'll paste them on and we're good to go, because they wear out. A transformation in your life is something that comes from the outside in that affects you ultimately, eternally. You are the recipient, not the initiator. See, the challenge often for a pastor when it comes to the act of sanctification or this whole idea of being transformed is to use words like this. You must, you ought, and you should. In reality, none of those terms are proper to motivate someone to be sanctified or transformed. Far better is it to point away from you and to point to Christ Himself. To see God and His mercy and His love for you. To understand, I invite you to understand the supreme sacrifice that Christ made in your place. You know, one of my favorite verses of the whole Bible is one that most people aren't all that aware of. It follows right on the heels of Adam and Eve and their new clothing line called Fig Tree Express. There God says these words recorded. And God, the Lord God, made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. God covered them by shedding blood. It's Jesus' blood that transforms you. His blood, His righteousness. And it literally changes everything about you. You who were once dead in your trespasses and sin have now been made alive. You who were once enemies of God have now been invited into the family and are called a child of God. You who are sinners, God now sees through the lens of Christ as His saints. You who were once camouflaged, conforming to the world in which you live in, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been transformed. in order to be transformed, to be the teacher that God has called you to be, the administrator God has called you to be, it takes a heavy dose of God's grace and His mercy. Found either in water and word in your baptism where He recreated you and put in you a clean heart and renewed a right spirit within you. Or be that as you go to the altar to receive the very flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. For forgiveness for all the times when you're just like the kids. I just want to fit in. I don't want to let my light shine because, quite honestly, it's not convenient. It's by that shed blood that your sins are forgiven. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't end the sermon with some words from Duck Dynasty. See, the reality is that when we see Jesus as our Savior, and He has transformed me by the work He's done upon the cross, and it takes root in my life, begins to change everything about us, I can only say the three words: I'm happy, happy, happy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.